It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, here we are, Pismo Beach and all the clams we can eat. Yeah, no. I took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. It's Moran Monday on the horn, the 18th day of May, 2020. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to pick up the live stream. It's also your one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs. And, of course, it is the gateway to the wacky, merry, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. Pop by right now, and you will be joyfully and eagerly greeted by none other than early arrivers, Anatole, House of Roberts, and Squeaky, capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has resisted the urge to fold space because Grady doesn't like it when he folds space during thunderstorms. So that's, yeah. By the way, just a little technical note. Now that we've got new and non-frontier internet service with considerably more bandwidth, I have, Brother Deacon Asa and I have been tinkering with things like the bit rate and whatnot. And so today we're having an experiment to see how much better the audio is at this rate, which means, and if you take the podcast, don't worry, it's not going to be this huge forever. We're just trying to find, because this is going to be a huge podcast when you run the numbers up on the bit rate, it changes the size of the broadcast file, the recorded file. I hope you're enjoying the enhanced audio quality. Things, with any luck, will only get better. It's amazing what 2 or 3 days of freaking sunshine can do for my general outlook on life. Because we had a couple of sunny days, I have started putting together the acorn yesterday and the day before. I made all these things were wonderful. The food porn is up on my Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, the timelines. But I made Kaneka sandwiches. I got they do some lovely Kaiser rolls up at the Wiggling Pig, and so sliced those open, toasted them in the toasted the Kaiser rolls in the Kaneka grease, just a light schmear, let them turn golden brown, and then butterflied the Kaneka, grilled it till it had a wonderful crispy center, split them, put it on the Kaneka with a West Virginia thing. Namely a company out of Clarksburg, West Virginia called Oliverio's. And they do this peppers and sauce, tomato sauce and sweet and hot peppers. And so that on the bun and the Kaneka, and then just finely shredded mozzarella cheese that got all melty, ooey gooey, slap it together, press it down a little bit, and make happiness. So I did that. I did that both Saturday and Sunday. And then today, because I didn't want to run the risk of Kaneka burnout. You don't ever want to run the risk of Kaneka burnout. Ferg said he was into a burger. Agnes is having a lupus flare-up right now, so she's not much into eating. But I got some decent ground beef up at the Wiggling Pig, and I haven't posted those yet, those food porn photos yet. But they were pretty. They had some nice ripe yellow tomatoes. I love yellow tomatoes because of the lower acid content. And some beautiful sliced dill pickles and lettuce and grilled onions and made his burgers with horseradish Havarti. Yeah. And then just hit it with the mayo and the mustard because Ferg's anti-ketchup. And then topped it all off with an over-easy egg. And he said they were as good a burger as he's ever had in his life. So, meanwhile, I'm running around absorbing sunlight, my body converting sunlight into vitamin D and just generally feeling ever so much better. With a little bit of warmth, and then of course, because you got to ease into this stuff, or it'll knock your ass out. Came inside and cooled off a little bit because you can overheat real quick, especially around the griddle with all that heat coming off of that. But all things being equal, it was not a particularly exciting weekend, but it was deeply gratifying just to be outside and be able to feel the warmth of the sun. And like I said, worked wonders for my attitude. And then, 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time rolls around, and well, here we are. And we will jump straight to the crazy, as the French say, tout suite. I did the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part, right? Yeah. Thank you, Sparky. Sparky says it's sounding good. I wonder if it sounds... I wonder how this sounds compared to, say, the 64 kbps versus Friday's 128 kbps. I don't know. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so thanks go out to an anonymous friend. Thanks go out also to Grace and Stephen in South Carolina, to Nancy, to Gary, Laborman, to Tim, to Glenn, to different Tim, to Reinhard out on the Virginia coast, and to Brock. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. We've still got a little bit of Thursday to catch up with. Fundraising-wise, we've got a little bit of Thursday, all of Friday, and all of today. What that means is that we are down to, let me check. I got a tech question coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. That's a big 10-4, Brother Deacon. No, not 109-4, damn it. Hey, so the bottom line fundraising goal for today is $425. So we're $225 from behind from last week. Hopefully, we will knock some of that out and get a little further, a little further down the road, and keep up with the bills as they come in continuously. Of course, now we've got the new internet connection, and that's another bill to pay. Oh joy! And can't get rid of it. Well, I'm going to keep one of the Frontier connections, but I'm going to get rid of the other two as soon as the contract's up. But that's not going to be for a while. All told, though, I feel considerably better about the technical future of the program with this new connection. What's that? Brendan says. So the sun has you in the pink, Wait a minute. Yeah, that's worth a jingle. Yeah, I mean, I pink up pretty good. And then when I get too pink, I blister and I peel, and I'm back to being pale and frighteningly white again. But I didn't stay out in it too long. But it does. It just makes me feel a little bit more, I guess, perky. So thank you for that, Brendan. Note from Baltimore Bob, a federal judge has denied a request from Martin Shkreli, the smirking, price-gouging former drug company executive known as PharmaBro, for a 3-month prison release to research a COVID-19 treatment. Yeah, that was funny when he asked it. No, really, I can do it, and then I'll charge everybody a bajillion dollars a dose. Nah, sorry, Marty, you just stay there in the Gray Bar Hotel. We'll work on this. One more asshole added to the mix is not gonna change the outcome. But Baltimore Bob says, didn't Joe Manchin's daughter Heather Bresch, CEO of Mylan Pharmaceuticals, also engage in price gouging? The product was EpiPen. Oh yes, quite. But Martin Shkreli was not a senator's daughter. But Jesus, that's like so 2016. So, back then, that, well, meanwhile, I'm just waiting for somebody to figure out what it was that Richard Burr did and let us know why they didn't also go after Kelly Loeffler for doing the very same damn thing. You will. From Joey, Bob. Every note from Joey begins, Bob! So I'm traveling behind a vehicle on Interstate 77, and I know that highway, and the bumper sticker states, socialism sucks! Interesting, considering the very road he was driving on was created directly by socialism. Yes, that's correct. Dwight D. Eisenhower, a Republican president, believed FDR's socialism was a great idea. FDR created dozens of programs, and one in particular, Social Security, brought and has kept millions of senior citizens out of poverty. Prior to Social Security, nearly half of all seniors in this country were living in poverty, and now only approximately 10% of seniors live impoverished. President Eisenhower not only kept in place most of FDR's program, but established the federal highway system. What was it? The National Defense Highway System? Yeah. Which has paid off in spades and allowed for trillions of dollars in commerce to be transported all over the country for the past several decades. Not to mention the federal socialist highway system has allowed for millions of Americans to have a much safer, easier, and efficient commute to work each day as well. And it's also allowed certain people in the country, in certain parts of the country, to refer to highways as the and a number. So that's an added benefit from the highway system. So the irony, Joey continues, the irony of a person driving an interstate highway with a bumper sticker critical of socialism is really sad and misguided. Our tax dollars directly paid for the funding of billions of dollars worth of highways throughout this country, and that is socialism from a Republican president, no less. So if you don't like socialism, please stay off the roads, all of them, and consider walking to work. So if you don't like socialism, go find your own source of clean water that the socialistic EPA attempts to keep free of mercury and lead, you know, or I'll add editorially, at least used to. And finally, if you don't like that goddamn socialism that allows you to have sewer lines running from your home to the local sewer plant, then fuck it. Go shit in your pool. But not in anybody else's. This has been Joey's Journal for the day of May 18th with inspiration from Giraffery. Yes. My goodness. More in Monday comes around and everybody, I guess we've just got a backlog of commentary from the weekend. Huh. Okay, that's really weird. Brother Deacon Asa says I was just Chantel'd for the first time. Brother Deacon, I never saw it here. It never even so much as dotted up, so I wonder if it could have been somewhere along the hop up to the head on live server. I don't know. we'll see if it happens some more, and we'll see if I even see it. Because now I've got the interface in front of me instead of off to one side. And if it so much as shows one stinking buffering dot, I will see it. Oh, and by the way, there is an in memoriam up at headon.live. You will find a you'll find a photograph there on the main page of Bill Mr. Stress Miller. And we miss him every day. But this is the fifth anniversary of his passing. So he is he's up on the main page there. And just as a reminder, when you call the toll-free number, that, of course, is the stress line. And it is named in honor of Bill Mr. Stress Miller. And he got his name, I remember him telling us. At one point, he was married to a woman who was a psych nurse. And when someone in the unit, when a patient in the unit would lose their shit, instead of getting on the intercom and saying so-and-so is having is losing their shit, the intercom announcement would be Mr. Stress to room whatever. Mr. Stress to room 215. Mr. Stress to room 215. And they would come and deal with the person who was losing their shit. And so that's how Bill Mr. Stress Miller became Bill Mr. Stress Miller. He is indeed much missed and a dear, dear friend. Kyle, I'm going to take this as a cowbell award, a further cowbell award for Joey. Fuck it. Go shit in your pool. Ha 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 ha. You know what? That's the weird thing. We live in a time now in which the maggots would go and shit in their own pools to own the libs. And not only is this the anniversary of Mr. Stress's passing, in memoriam, courtesy of Steve in New York, day 115 of the Trump pandemic, or the pandonic. Deaths attributable to Donald Trump as of May 17th, 2020, 90,978 American people dead. Deaths attributable to Donald Trump as of April 17th, 2020, 34,905 American people dead. Deaths attributable to Donald Trump since April 17th, 2020, 56,063 American people dead. God, it's stunning to even ponder that. But yeah, he owns it. It's his. And while I had a whole lot of stuff, yes, he was. He was. That's right. A correction. Bill Mr. Stress Miller was born on January 1st, not February 1st, because he was the first baby born in Cleveland in 1943, I think it was. Yeah, he was January 1. We regret the error. I need to send out some thanks. Thanks to Brendan, and thanks to Dennis, Dennis from Columbus, and thanks to Dave in Kentucky, Stan, and thank you to Larry from Liberalville, because they participate in keeping the program on the air via the United States Postal Service, and those deposits just went out today. Because getting to the post office box is a bit of an adventure during this time with the Rona. Because I keep telling Boss Man Wayne, don't go to the mailbox. I'll go to the mailbox. And then, like, every Saturday, well, Saturday before last, I went, and only to find out that I thought they closed at 3, but they closed at 2, and I was there at 2:08, and, you know, fuck you, Bob. So I went this past Saturday. And that's just kind of how that works sometimes. Let's see, just keeping, trying to keep up with the emails that rolls in. And thank you, Charlene. I got your note. Much appreciated you letting me know. Sorry to hear it. Every now, it's just a fact of modern life that every now and then, I guess somebody's card's going to get nicked. Because there are so many sleazy entities lurking around various and sundry corners. Note coming in from Cynthia. Have you heard of any of Noel Kassler's interviews, like from Stephanie Miller and Nicole Sandler? Talk about shitting in your pool. Don't let Trump anywhere near yours. Apparently he shits in his pants all the time and has to wear diapers. What a pig. Well, he snorts. He's a hopeless speed freak, too. I was aware of it's interesting. There was a lot of interest generated in those two interviews by Stephanie and Nicole. And yet he'd been saying these things for a while. I remember us reporting his remarks along those lines months ago. And yet but I guess, well, it's news to everybody else who, you know, like, but we've been talking about it for a while. Megan wants to know, did you see the tweet from Elon Musk saying, take the red pill? And and Iwanka's response saying, taken. Even funnier was Lily Wachowski's response telling them to both fuck off, and she created the film The Matrix, where that saying originated. And, of course, it's been co-opted by right-wing shitbirds into a white supremacist, white nationalist meme, kind of like Pepe the Frog. Yeah. And it's a reminder, Iwanka, and then the stupid shit that Uday and Kusei Trump were saying over the weekend. Eric the Dumber declaring that the Rona will disappear within moments after the closure of the November election, because apparently Eric the Dumber thinks that the Rona is a Democratic hoax. So you got Iwanka saying take the red pill, it's a hoax, says Eric the Dumber. And then there's Traitor Tot Jr. It's kind of like we're already getting into the Morans without having to mention, without using the music, isn't it? Well, but it is. It's Moran Monday. And Traitor Tot Jr. Called Joe Biden a pedophile over the weekend. And so it reminds me of that old saying, you know, the apple falleth not far from the tree. Although in the case of the Trump gits, I think it's more a case of the turd falleth not far from the asshole. Right? Yeah. Hey, thank you to Brendan for getting us started. Much obliged, Brendan. That gets us down to 2:15. We got $15 to go to finish up last Thursday. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you very kindly. It's how we keep this all going. I guess Billable Rick has not forgotten that, yes, the same place that our post office box is located is also the post office box for a branch of the Klan. No kidding. But, you know, that establishment's more than happy to do business with the Klan, because I guess their money spends as well as anybody else's. Billable Rick says, when you visit your P.O. box, do you run into any fully hooded members of the KKK? If so, does the hood qualify as PPE, asking for a friend? No, it doesn't. It's just a really, really obvious indication that you are in the presence of a homicidal maggot dirtbag. Meanwhile, Steve in New York says, I just have to say, goddamn, I miss Mr. Stress. The stories that guy told about the blues music scene in general, and Cleveland especially, were awesome. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Yeah, one of these days, we should pull together a best of Mr. Stress reel. Even though there's no reel. But that would be kind of cool. Irish Dave says, as far as the interstate highway system, I don't need to tell you that it was marketed as both an escape from Rusky attack with the nukes and an alternate landing strip for B-52s and shit. Socialism in defense of the free market is a virtue. By the way, the question of the day is, what brand does Diaper Don wear? Is it depends on what the meaning of shit is? Ah. That was a multi-layered joke, and we give credit for that around here. Thank you, Irish Dave. I know. Just wait for the links to Ping Pong Pizza in regard to the slander, well, libel, it was tweeted, the libel against Hunter Biden, against Joe Biden. You know, he's a public figure, but that doesn't provide complete insulation. Oh, well, thank you. I got a cowbell from Billable Rick for the turd falleth not far from the asshole. And alongside that, I also got a running start on ruining dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. So, you know, the week is off to a fine start. But here's the... Here's what threw my show prep into chaos. And that is something that came out literally moments before airtime. Clorox Claudius, and we may have to adjust our nickname here. Clorox Claudius declared today in front of open mics and cameras at a round table. Well, let's just get right to the audio and finish up ruining somebody's dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Possibly somebody's late. I never realized there's kind of a double whammy involved with talking about disgusting things in the first hour of the program. Because that's not just dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. That's ruining late lunch in the Pacific Time Zone. So, sorry there, too. But this is kind of weird.
See whether or not, I won't put it on me, I'll put it on you. See whether or not he was a big contributor to the Democrats. See whether or not he wanted the Democrats to win.
No, yeah.
There's a lot of bad things coming out about him. But you people don't want to write the news, you know. But if you look, but he's the one that signed the application, the very important form. He signed it. Now, if he doesn't believe in it, why would he sign it? And a lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out.
Hold on. So he suddenly just stream of unconsciousnesses away from his 1 minute hate, and the next thing you know, he's talking about hydroxychloroquine. Based on what comes after, that matters.
A lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out, and you'd be surprised at how many people are taking it, especially the frontline workers. Before you catch it, the frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
Really? Chloroquine Claudius is taking hydroxy, the hydroxy. Jesus Christ, they're giving him off-brand Oreos and telling him he's taking hydroxychloroquine. Fuck me dead. You remember Hydroxes, don't you? Off-brand Oreos from Sunshine Bakery, not Nabisco, Hydrox, remember Hydrox? Yeah, they're giving him Hydrox and say, No, Mr. President. You get it with a double helping of a double sized glass of milk, and you dip your hydroxy in there, and you eat, and you'll be protected against the Rona. Hydrox. Back. And remember, this is a lot like Romper Room. I can see things through the radio. Everybody raise your hand if you believe he's actually taking hydroxychloroquine. Because, and here's a hint, he's not. Yeah. But he thinks he is. Or else he doesn't think he is, and he's just doing what he does every miserable day of his miserable life, and that is telling outrageous lies. But this puts the White House medical staff in a bit of a quandary. Because now they're going to want to know, well, is he really? And, well, you know, HIPAA keeps... Oh, I'm sorry. HIPAA keeps us from being able to disclose the medications that the president's on. That's a matter of national security. All right, let's just go ahead and get this over with and run off into the Alex Jones portion of this program. And say it. On November the 19th, he was rushed off to Walter Reed Army Medical Center for what was presented to us as being some preliminary work to his next presidential physical. Now, one of the things we know about hydroxychloroquine is that, among other things, it doesn't fucking work. But that if it's going to be administered, it needs to be administered in a hospital setting with near constant medical monitoring. Because otherwise, it can blow your heart up. Now, yeah. Well, we've started a thing. Randy in PA says, Hydrox were initially better than Oreos. Then they both became the same crappy quality, probably when they both switched over to palm oil. And yes, Scott in San Diego says, I liked Hydrox better. So now we'll probably spend a part of this program discussing who remembers Hydrox and whether they were better or worse. And I think, oh, I can't, because there's two different cheese crackers out there now too, aren't there? I mean, there's your come on. Your mainline cheese, right, crackers. And then there's the slightly off-brand, Cheez-Its, of course. Yeah, Cheez-Its versus Cheese Nips. Yeah. And Sunshine Bakeries may be involved with one of those, too. I don't know. Oh, well, I didn't realize that the Hydrox actually comes before the Oreo. Hydrox is the brand name for a cream-filled chocolate sandwich cookie manufactured by Leaf Brands that debuted in the United States in 1908 and was manufactured by Sunshine Biscuits for over 90 years. The similar Oreo cookie introduced in 1912 was inspired by the Hydrox. I'll be darned. What's that about pink? We're back to that. News Ninja Gene says, you aren't the pinked up person today, Bob. Ann got her new COVID cap over the weekend, and we tested it out today. We had a grand old time, but my poor wife can give Rudolph a run for his money. By the way, the turd doesn't fall far from the asshole, especially if the asshole wears diapers. Oh! All right, now that's on y'all. That's on you, Gene. That's Eugene? Gene used to live in Oregon. That's on you, Gene, not on me. that shot across the bow of dinner in the Eastern time zone and lunch, late lunch in the Pacific time zone. Hey, thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, keeping us started. We are only $10 away now from finishing last Thursday's fundraising. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. And Lee, by the way, in New York, noted that Hydrox is the original, Oreo is the copy. Megan says, or Trump is lying and he's really taking his morning Adderall and lying and saying he's taking that medication. He just takes what they hand him. Well, sometimes he snorts what they hand him, but that's a different matter.
I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine?
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine.
When?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, when?
A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
Because he tested, well, if there's any truth to it, it's because he, you know, tested positive. Or because it turned out that his valet was around him and Frau Goebbels was running him around. And so maybe they put it on him, had him start taking it prophylactically. Maybe because he doesn't, if it isn't on Fox and Fiends, he doesn't know about it. So he probably doesn't know how dangerous this shit is.
And if it's not good, I'll tell you right, I'm not going to get hurt by it. It's been around for 40 years for malaria, for lupus, for other things. I take it. Frontline workers take it. A lot of doctors take it. Excuse me. A lot of doctors take it. I take it. Now, I hope to not be able to take it soon because, you know, I hope they come up with some answer. But I think people should be allowed to. I got a letter from a doctor the other day from Westchester, New York, around the area. See whether or not.
Yeah. So it was November 19th when he got that workup at Walter Reed. Maybe it was a complete cardiac workup. And maybe it was a lipids and EKGs and maybe who knows, maybe an arteriogram. In case they had to start him on it as a therapy, because remember, they had just heard or just been briefed about it days before. Like maybe 3 days before, or maybe the day before, because that was a Saturday, remember? Jesus. And so Daniel Dale with CNN said, asked if the White House doctor recommended he take hydroxychloroquine. He said he asked, and the doctor said, yeah, White House doctor. Yeah, White House doctor. No, I asked him, what do you think? He said, well, if you'd like it. I said, yeah, I'd like it. I'd like to take it. A lot of people are taking it. Because that's, you know, that's how it goes with my doctor. You know, when I cough up my $120 for my 5 minutes, I walk in and I say, hey, doc, I'd like to take this. And he says, would you? And I say, yeah, everybody else is taking it. And he says, cool. Lee in New York says, he'll take it if they give it to him, unless it's healthy food. I'm telling you, they're giving him a stack of Hydroxes and he's dipping it in milk. Or no, they're putting it in his 2 scoops of ice cream. Yeah, see, Mr. President, there's the chunk of Hydroxys just poking out of the ice cream there. That's it. Yeah, it's probably true. Randy in PA reminds us Cheez-Its, along with all of the non-organic baked goods, probably contain some amount of Roundup. Tasty. Not. Well, that's it for dinner now because, and we may have an early start on the Central time zone because Brother Deacon Asa says, inside sources tell me Trump's hydroxy doses are administered in suppository format. Oh. Who would,
Get Iwanka in here. Tell her daddy needs his medicine.
True enough, you know, Noel Casler, if what Noel Casler says is true, and he's still a speed freak. Irish Dave says, one wonders, what are the cardiac implications of the synergistic effect of taking Adderall, Hydrox, and such shit as that? Well, we all know, for instance, that, and this is just by way of illustration and comparison, and we all know that I'm caffeine sensitive. I just can't cope with it anymore. But the lady down the hill with the food truck over the weekend had a batch of freshly churned vegan coconut milk coffee toffee ice cream. And so I got a pint, and Agnes and I shared it. And we were pretty close to done with it, and I looked up and said, you know, she makes this with real coffee. Ah, fuck. And sure enough, about a half an hour later, it was a little jangled. Because it was less like an ice cream and more like a gelato. And I was kind of speeded up there because I really am sensitive to caffeine. And so, really, because among other things, it can cause atrial fib that hydroxy causes? He's also a Diet Coke freak, too, notes David in South Carolina, Stan. So that means he's, you know, Adderall, caffeine. Yeah. Irish Dave pointing out, been
around for years.
So is that similar to cocaine ingestion as a remedy for heroin addiction? Because that's been around for years, too, and vice versa. In the early days of the 20th century, the people who got all coked up were then treated with heroin to bring them back down. Yeah, gross about Iwanka, says Ralps. I know. Sometimes I'm just merciless, Ralps. It can't be helped. Megan says, you forgot, Bob. Trump gets his hydroxy suppository after his Clorox bleach enema. This community may never eat again. Or at least not until sometime tomorrow. Lee wants to know, does Trump's doctor sound like Tommy Chong?
Oh, no, try this. You love it.
My Tommy Chong is not strong. Don't minimize, Bob, Scott says. Jangled hell, you were probably twitching and jumping around like a wet ferret in a fuse box. How did you know? It's exactly what it is. And when I get hold of a dose of caffeine, it feels like every individual hair, remaining hair on my scalp, is playing musical chairs with the follicles, just jumping from one to the other. Yeah. Excuse me, says Shorty in L.A. That was an admission to having COVID-19 by Mr. President, right? I mean, I'm just fucking saying. You know Trump's and his still wannabe privileged intentional fucker. Signed Shorty. Adding to that,
doctors take it, nurses take it, even a cockadoodle chickens take it.
Hey, Irish Dave, the answer is yeah, doctors take it, nurses take it, even cockadoodle chickens take it. Hey, was that doctor's letter from Quest Diagnostic? Hey, so that way Trump knows he's been screwed. And the answer, Irish Dave, to that side effect question is called kaboom. Gee, and I thought that used to be a breakfast cereal. It had marshmallows in it, never much cared for. See how I knew that this program was going to get off the rails in a real hurry? I mean, it's not exciting news. It's not. It's not hopeful news. By the way, while I was out and about over the weekend, speaking of not hopeful, We don't have traffic jams around here as such. But U.S. 19 can get quite busy during the tourist season. You'll see a lot of out-of-state tags. Well, I saw a lot of out-of-state tags this weekend. South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And we're not even reopened. But today was reopening day for gyms and hair salons and barbershops and tanning beds and nail places. And over in the Eastern Panhandle, they're downright scared because Virginia is going to remain locked down till the end of May, possibly early June at the very least. And there are places in the eastern side of the state, especially over in the Panhandle, where you walk across the street and you're in, so to speak, and you're in West Virginia, where we're going to open up. And that means the Virginians and the Marylanders are going to come here and probably bring their asymptomatic viral particles with them. But it is Moran Monday. Okay. This is a big win for Scott in San Diego. Brother Deacon Asa says, tell Scott I had to pull over on account of his wet ferret in a fuse box comment for fear of wrapping the vehicle around a light post. And I have here a photograph of the Brother Deacon mobile sitting on the side of the road somewhere in far British Columbia. From, you know, because of the guffaw, like a wet ferret in a fuse box. That's beautiful. Yeah, Albert reminding us, heroin was first introduced, developed by Bayer to help people who were morphine addicts. And then they moved on to using it to treat cocaine addiction. Funny people. But speaking of funny people, we had a Karen sighting this weekend, or as I prefer to call her, Kaylee, in honor of White House spokescreep Kaylee McEnany. And by way of setting up the clip, it's time to note that our old friends are doing what they do oh so well, you know, our old friends in Mother Russia. They are spreading disinformation about masking. And you know that it's a disinformation campaign because you can hear it and see it in so many different locations. Within the last week, I saw a fella who lives down on the Alabama Gulf Coast making the claim that he would not wear a mask and his wife could not wear a mask because she become dizzy and about passed out from breathing of her own CO2 exhalations. And them masks is dangerous. And then I myself had to be in the grocery store this weekend. I was following the rules. Not really rule-oriented, but where personal well-being moves into it, I can follow a rule from time to time. And I try to make sure that I'm not going down aisles in the wrong direction. So there I was at the end of the aisle, and this tub of guts and his ignorant tub of guts, wife, spouse, girlfriend, whatever, following meekly behind by about three paces, turns into the thing. And I just kind of had enough. I was gloved and I was masked. I said, hey, bub, you're going the wrong way. Go to the next aisle. He said, I don't care. I said, it's not about whether you care. He said, well, I don't care. And he keeps on walking. And I said, and you don't care about your community either. No, I ain't worried about the virus. And I couldn't let it go. I said, you worried about her? Are you going to be worried when you give it to her? How about when you give it to your mama or your daddy? Or one of your neighbors gives it to you? You going to worry then? No. At which point, I kind of lost my temper a little bit and yelled rather loudly, fuck you, you disease-spreading animal. Because he is, and he was. There's a new study out, you know, science! Courtesy of Dave number 11. From the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America, headline, the airborne lifetime of small speech droplets and their potential importance in SARS-CoV-2 transmission. Authors Valentin Stadnitsky, Christina E. Bax, Adrian Bax, and Philip Anfenrud. It's been out for about 5 days now. Speech droplets generated by asymptomatic carriers of severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2 are increasingly considered to be a likely mode of disease transmission. Highly sensitive laser light scattering observations have revealed that loud speech can emit thousands of oral fluid droplets per second. Again, ballistics. In a closed, stagnant air environment, they disappear from the window of view with time constants in the range of 8 to 14 minutes, which corresponds to droplet nuclei of around 4 microns diameter, or 12 to 21 micron droplets prior to dehydration. These observations confirm that there is a substantial probability that normal speaking causes airborne virus transmission in confined environments. It has long been recognized that respiratory viruses can be transmitted via droplets that are generated by coughing or sneezing. It is less widely known that normal speaking also produces thousands of oral fluid droplets with a broad size distribution around 1 micron to 500 microns. Droplets can harbor a variety of respiratory pathogens, including measles and influenza virus, as well as Mycobacterium tuberculosis, high viral loads of severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, we'll just call it Verona, have been detected in oral fluids of the Rona-positive patients, including asymptomatic ones. However, the possible role of small speech droplet nuclei with diameters of less than 30 microns, which potentially could remain airborne for extended periods of time, has not been widely appreciated. We used an intense sheet of laser light to visualize bursts of speech droplets produced during repeated spoken phrases. No word here about whether it was things like "Trump make America great again" or anything like that. This method revealed average droplet emission rates of around 1,000, with peak emission rates as high as 10,000, with a total integrated volume far higher than in previous reports. The high sensitivity of the light scattering method in observing medium-sized 10 microns, about 100 micron droplets, a fraction of which remain airborne for at least 30 seconds, likely accounts for the large increase in the number of observed droplets. According to Stokes' law, the terminal velocity, again, ballistics, the terminal velocity of a falling droplet scales as the square of its diameter. Once airborne, a speech-generated droplet rapidly dehydrates due to evaporation, thereby decreasing in size and slowing the fall. The probability that a droplet contains one or more virons scales with its initial hydrated volume, that is, as the cube of its diameter, D. We're into some serious math here, folks. The probability that speech droplets pass on an infection when emitted by a virus carrier must take into account how long droplet nuclei remain airborne, and the probability that droplets encapsulate at least one virion, the product of which is proportional to D. This is some fairly deep shit. And they, you know, they show their work, as the saying goes. But what it boils down to is that what I've been saying at the end of every program for a while now, and as Dave number 11 noted, if you see a maggot coming toward you, get away from them as quickly as you possibly can. Avoid them like the plague, because they are. The mask won't protect you, but it will keep you from spreading to others. So people who aren't wearing masks are more than happy to spread the disease. And that is horrifying. Avoid them. The best thing is still staying home. I know we're sick. I know we're sick of being home. And some are more frustrated than others. The closer your confines, the more likely you are to be absolutely aching to get out. Like I said at the beginning of the program, I was able to, you know, sort of get a little bit of sunshine therapy today. And I'm lucky. That I can. Todd said, did you really say that in the market? Yes, I really said that. I remained socially distant, but I had to walk past the disease-spreading freak. And it pissed me off. Todd says, many of us are becoming weary of the heavy and saturating ignorance around us. They see it as freedom. We see it as lethal. Well, I'm just waiting for one of these goddamn maggots to say, hey, I got a right to drive under the influence of alcohol and take out a school bus full of 6-year-olds. 'Cause it's about my freedom. 'Cause when you get right down to it, and any scofflaw will tell you, it's only illegal if you get caught. So, you know, if you decide to pound a pint of old panther piss and then go toddling around the roads of your state or province, well, hell, that's just freedom. That is the exact same kind of logic that these fools are using when they say, I ain't gonna wear no mask 'cause freedom. And again, people are saying the same shit all over the country, which means that talking points are being distributed. And they're all saying the same thing. It's kind of like when you listen to talk radio, but I haven't heard, I don't know, maybe Fucker Carlson or Alex Jones or one of those goobers is doing this, spreading this around. But it's there, and it's real. And so that takes us to a Gerson's grocery store. where a woman without a mask tried to enter when Gersons had said, nobody's coming in without a mask. The corporate chain had said, nope, nobody's coming in without a mask. It, which caused her to have a maggot, pissy fit. And go all Karen. And listen to the excuses. And get the hockey puck. I neglected to say get the hockey puck. You're going to want the hockey puck and the duct tape.
I do humbly apologize, but Gelson specifically is not lying.
Now, hold on here, because it's not just Gerson's corporate. It's become required in the community. Wearing a mask. Not to protect you, but to protect others from you. And what's fascinating is that R number, the letter R, if it's above one, the disease is spreading. If it's below one, it's not. It's called the reinfection rate. We now know, scientifically, not anecdotally, that if everybody masks, the R rate goes way the hell down because people aren't reinfecting each other. And so this woman having read her talking points, and for all we know, been to a maggot rally or two, it's kind of hard to say. Gelson's. It's a high-end supermarket chain, even more high-end than Whole Foods. I was guessing this was Southern California. I presume that it is. Gelson's, not Gerson's. My bad.
I do humbly apologize, but Gelson specifically is not allowing any customer or employee inside the store without a mask or some sort of guide.
Okay, so I need to talk to a manager because...
I will absolutely humbly go get a manager for you if you'd like to hang out with me for
awesome.
A moment. If not, we can provide you with one.
I'm not wearing a mask.
She doesn't want a mask because she got freedom. Because it's in the Constitution, right there next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I got to say, I love the early Michael Jackson rock with you in the background. It's just peppy and upbeat. Off the Wall is probably my favorite Michael Jackson album. But, you know, it's because of when it came out, you know, junior in high school, moving into my senior year, I think it was. And it's just got all that era wrapped up around it. But Even a white guy with two left feet like me, I heard that playing on the video, and I was like, you know, grooving in the chair here without even getting up.
Okay, understood.
Perfect.
Just a moment.
Go ahead.
Now, here's the best part. She's recording all of this stuff thinking that she's going to become a hero. She's going to be seen as a victim of the freedom stealers, of the people who don't love the Constitution the way she loves the Constitution.
Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA rules and regulations to disclose that.
Okay, so I don't have to disclose it, but I've got this condition. I'm going to go ahead and provide a spoiler here for this clip. Turns out the condition that she has is lupus. Lupus, of course, alongside rheumatoid arthritis, is a disease that compromises the immune system. Makes it possible for you to become more easily infected. Which in turn means it's more likely that she could be an asymptomatic carrier, And it also means that she's going to get a hell of a lot sicker if she gets the Rona. So it is in her best interest that everyone around her be masked and that she be mad and that she wear a mask for their sake. But she's not done because, you know, she's special.
Can we shop for you?
So what does that look like? I have private things I want to get that maybe I don't want you to see.
Did you hear that? The manager says, would you like us to shop for you? Oh, she wants to get some private things. Really? In 2020? Anybody want to help with the private things that she needs? I mean, are we all grown-ups here? I'm just trying to think of the private things that someone could want to buy at Gelson's that would be so horrifyingly embarrassing that she would probably die of blushing just seeing it go past the barcode scanner at the checkout. Of course not. I mean, we can just thumb a few of these things off. Feminine hygiene products? Okay. Laxatives? Okay. Incontinence undergarments? I mean, if they're good enough for the president. Because I'm pretty sure you're not going to feel like you need to hide your need for an organic avocado. Wait, maybe everybody thinks she's a vegan and she's going to go in and buy bacon. Maybe that's it. Any of this working for y'all? Because it's not doing a damn thing for me. She's lying. See, she's been on social media and she's talked among her weirdo maggot pals, and they've gotten the talking points about how you can breathe your own CO2 and just pass out wearing a mask. Yeah, no. Not in the time it takes you to go grocery shopping. No. Okay, so the part about HIPAA, that's on one of the flyers that was Russian generated that I saw over the weekend. You don't have to tell them why it is, what your health condition is, because HIPAA. Vlad's boys there in the GRU and whatnot need to get a little bit sharper about HIPAA, but well, I'd probably better not say that. So she doesn't want any personal shopping done for her. Right.
But I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
Well, Karen, Kaylee, have you ever been in a store, or have you ever gone to a store and there's a sign in the window that says no shirt, no shoes, no service? Well, you can add no mask, no service. Poor little white girl Karen, don't be thinking that this is just the same as having fire hoses and attack dogs turned on you in front of a bridge in Selma, because it's not. Don't think that this is like you being denied service because of the color of your skin, because it's not. This is no difference than you insisting on being served if you're not wearing a pair of shoes or a shirt. I always wondered why no pants wasn't on there, but I guess that's just a foregone conclusion. Well, our imaginations are off and running. Don in West Tennessee, vaginal itch, maybe an antifungal cream. Possible. How about, okay, pregnancy test. But why are you getting it at Gelson's? Why aren't you at CVS? Oh, wait, they want you to wear a mask, too. Lee, in New York, private products, aren't those products on the shelf for all to see? Well, they kind of are. In some places, you even have to ask for them to be unlocked. Stephen, New York, HIPAA. I wonder, do the talking points use HIPAA or HIPPA or HIPAA? I have seen both. Again, says Robert in Australia, I don't get it. I go shopping, I wear a mask and gloves. Many stores have free hand sanitizer at the door with instructions to use. I use it on the rubber gloves I'm wearing. Highly recommended. I do, too. You know what I do? I hand sanitize my gloves before I take them off and throw them away. That's just as an extra layer of protection. I'm in and out in 15 minutes, Robert says, and on my way home, I shop with a list. The only issue I have is when my glasses fog up. The solution is to move them away from the face a little bit more. What is the problem? I have a condition as well, as mentioned before, psoriatic arthritis. The only way to treat it is with immune suppression medications. I have a suppressed immune system, and I wear a mask and gloves when out. There's no condition that stops you from wearing a mask. This woman is I never do Crocodile Kincaid when I'm reading your emails, but when you use up over down under language, I feel compelled to use it. This is said with all love and respect, but please, this woman is a self-righteous privilege git. There, all better now. I won't do it again, and I hope I did you justice, Robert. And as we all know, stores are private property. They can do anything they like, including not let you in.
I got a constitutional right to go to Gelson's. It's in the Constitution, right there, next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Fucking idiots. Fucking idiots. But, see, Robert, here's the problem. Y'all don't have a written constitution to confuse people. The UK or maybe you do. I don't know. Does Australia have a written constitution? I know the UK doesn't. But people here don't know shit about the Constitution. They just think they do. That's why it's funny when I say, it's in the Constitution, right there next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness isn't in the Constitution. It's in the Declaration of Independence, but I dare say that if you quizzed a statistically relevant number of Americans, they would agree that it's there. Lady B reminded me something over the weekend with an article from The Onion. And it goes back years and years now. And what Lady B sent me underneath had a link directly to this old story. I even remember the fake guy that it's supposed to be about. Kyle Mortensen's 47. The fake dateline is Escondido, California. I think it was Reverbo who put me onto this so long ago because it will be 11 years old this November. Spurred by an administration he believes to be guilty of numerous transgressions, self-described American patriot Kyle Mortensen, 47. Is a vehement defender of ideas he seems to think are enshrined in the U.S. Constitution and principles that brave men had fought and died for solely in his head.
Our very way of life is under siege, said Mortensen, whose understanding of the Constitution derives not from a close reading of the document from talk show pundits, books by television personalities, and the limitless expanse of his own colorful imagination. It's time for true Americans to stand up and protect the values that make us who we are.
According to Mortensen, an otherwise mild-mannered husband, father, and small business owner, the most serious threat to his fanciful version of the 222-year-old Constitution is the attempt by far-left traitors
to strip it of its religious foundation. Right there in the preamble, the authors make their priorities clear. One nation under God, said Mortensen, attributing to the Constitution a line from the Pledge of Allegiance, which itself did not include any reference to a deity until 1954.
Well, there's a reason they put that right at the top. Men like Madison and Jefferson were moved by the ideals of Christianity and wanted the United States to reflect those values as a Christian nation,
continued Mortensen, referring to the father of the Constitution, James Madison, considered by many historians to be an atheist, and Thomas Jefferson, an Enlightenment-era thinker who rejected the divinity of Christ and was in France at the time the document was written.
The words on the page speak for themselves.
So there you have it. I mean, that's the essence of the problem. And so we find ourselves going back to Gelson's and back to this aggrieved idiot who has no idea what's in the Constitution, but by God, she's gonna pretend that she does. Hey, thank you very kindly, Anatole. That's awesome. We just finished Thursday's fundraising. Awesome. All we got now is $400 to go. Thank you. Thank you, Anatole. Thank you so very kindly. And by the way, Jeremy, as to the masks, these weirdos are not wearing masks. Fuck. They're saying that if we wear masks, it lowers our immune system because you're not getting your normal viral load. Yeah, that's part of it, too. The best part of all of this is the same people who scream about communism and socialism and libtards are falling for the master of all puppets, Putin, and his social media trolls spreading misinformation. Jesus, jumping Christ, people are stupid. Not all, but enough. You know, it's the same principle that drives pandemics. Hey, Jimmy reminding us, whatever her private products are, it will be seen by the checker, and I don't think she'd use the self-checkout. She doesn't sound like that kind of person. Yeah. May I help you? Bob, I feel oh so terrible for this woman. How dare that manager ask if they could shop for her personally? I think the private thing that she wants is the amount of zucchini that she'd buy. Yes, these... What? Yes, these self-entitled idiots are everywhere. Christine has to work around it. As a disabled man, I know how often I've had managers or store clerks ask if they could shop for me or walk with me while I go through the store in case I need assistance getting something off a shelf. This is a common courtesy. I know we're talking maggots and courtesy. I'd like to thank my fraternity brother, Dave 11, for the information on droplet. Signed, your buddy, Dave, not even in the blind. P.S. I'm doing a lot better today. They always say I want to speak to your manager. Christine points in the general direction of the manager, maybe, and tells some to have a good day. And that's what the guy did at the door. Oh, yeah, great. I will humbly go and get you. I thought the humbly part made it art. I will humbly go and get you the manager. Yeah. Okay, a little bit different perspective. Darlene in Connecticut says, well, Bob, with all you men weighing in here, to be fair, honestly, when I have a male Instacart shopper buying my feminine products, I do feel a bit sheepish and embarrassed as I don't know him. I have to make an effort to get over it quick. That said, I do think Care here is full of shit, and if she's an evangelical Christian on a mission, then she ain't getting over it. Poor Care. Yeah, I mean, we're all human. Male or female, when you say, you know, no, I need the quart size bottle of milk of magnesia. This is going to take some doing. But it's, yeah. I get it. I guess. Then again, as a married person, it didn't take me very long at all to get over the, honey, you know, as long as I got the right thing, we're cool. And so I would say, no, tell me precisely what product you want, because I will fuck this up otherwise. And that goes all the way down to hair dye. Do not leave me any room to screw up.
You know, so it's like tiny, super overnight, days on end. As long as you tell me, I'm good, because it's just stuff. And, you know, when it was no longer just Agnes, and it was Agnes and the three daughters, yeah, you get over it in a hurry. But, you know, maybe having some stranger. Yeah. Sure. But we're not done with Karen, because Karen's going to show us just exactly how much of an asshole. By the way, her real name is Shelley. I don't want to ruin Shelley, though. We'll just keep her at Kaylee or Karen.
Because you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that?
I'm
you're discriminating against
that
me.
We can help you.
No, because okay. I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Then you can...
Okay. So now, yeah, I told you exactly where she was going, because the maggots have been directed to go in that way. She just compared herself to being refused seating at a Walgreens lunch counter. You're discriminating against me.
Regulations that state that.
The regulations?
Yeah.
That is company.
Because you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that?
I'm
you're discriminating against
that
me.
We can help you.
No, because okay. I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Yeah, then you can call corporate office, but I can't help you.
Okay, well, you guys can get a lawsuit, because you can't discriminate.
Karen's going to sue. Yeah, meanwhile, Zucchini asks Lady B. She likes eggplant. She heard it originated in Africa. And I don't care who shops her personal stuff. Order it online. Pick it up. You probably aren't the first female he's ever checked out or shopped for. Nor women shopping for men. Then there's the Amazon warehouse, and that's a whole different kettle of fish. But this is becoming a thing. Now, there aren't millions and millions of them out there, but it doesn't take millions and millions. It takes enough people to make it obvious that a campaign is being waged. And it has become obvious. All right, so I have a condition that prevents me from wearing a mask. Didn't fly. So now we're going to move on to you're discriminating against me. Where are your German shepherds and your fire hoses and your Alabama state troopers with their billy clubs? And then there's another fallback trench after that.
I'm trying to help you, but I'm
no,
not going
you
to
can't.
You.
How is that? How's that helping when you're going to do shopping for me? I'm going to give you my bank information. How do I do the transaction?
Well, pretty much, lady, the same way you do a transaction when you order anything online. I'm going to give you my bank information? No, we don't want to know what they don't want to know what bank you use. They don't want your fucking routing number or your account number or anything. Just whip out that little piece of plastic that you'd be whipping out if you were in there and you were actually wearing a mask and you weren't a fucking maggot moron. Moran.
We'll do for you.
No, I'm going to give you my credit card, my private credit card, for you to go and take and pay with my...
We're trying to help you.
How's that helping me?
Well, care. It's getting you your stuff. But that's not really the purpose of all of this. And I think that's what's important. She's not embarrassed about private things. That, again, is part of the fucking talking points. It's how this has been built and manipulated. It is a chaos exercise. As Agnes points out, if Shell's there didn't want attention, she'd have ordered online, you know, Occam's razor.
They're going to swipe your card, Shells, not your virtue, because you have none.
Agnes does not gladly suffer fools.
Miss, call corporate office. I'm sorry.
Okay, I need a card. Do you have a card for them?
I sure can.
That'd be great. This is Shelley Lewis. I'm at Dana Point Gelson's. So if anybody wants to shop here, you have to have a mask. And here is the policies, which state that they will shop for me, take my money, my private credit card, and utilize.
God, she is so aggrieved. But it really doesn't help her case when she goes over to the signage that's there in front of the store before you ever even get to go through the doors that says, you gotta wear a mask. And she saw that, and she thought, yeah, but see, my friends on Facebook, and you know, we all want to put America first, and Trump and MAGA, you know. We've already been given information as to how illegal this is and how they're stealing our freedom. But the fact of the matter is, she was on notice before she walked through the door. Scott in San Diego says, poor Karen Kaley. She's being discriminated against? Not. Since everybody must wear a mask to shop at the store. We're all now completely clear about the content of her character part, aren't we? P.S. Private things? They print what she's purchased on the goddamned receipt! And they keep a copy. Don in West Tennessee says, masks? I was down in Mississippi Saturday, and this guy told me that the masks cuts down on oxygen intake. Yeah, it's that, and it's the CO2 argument. Oh, okay. Australia does have a written constitution. Robert says, only no one's ever really read it. I know I haven't. Robert says, you know, I must sit down and browse it one day. And, oh, by the way, I've got a dispensation here. Feel free to use your Oz accent anytime you choose. It's quite good. Don't feel bad. Even Meryl Streep didn't get it 100% correct. She kept slipping into New Zealand. Well, see, if I fucked up and slipped into New Zealand, A, I'd probably never leave. And B, my buddy Jimmy there would be on my ass like a duck on a June bug. I get away with nothing here. But thank you. Thank you, Robert. Private stuff, Robert continues. If it's in the store, the workers have seen it. P.S., you're going to get a lawsuit. Robert says, here in Australia, the response would be, lady, get the fuck out of my store and don't ever come back, you stuck up. And they use a word down there that we don't use here. But it has something to do with see you next Tuesday. Only it doesn't, it sounds like it's got, instead of a short U, it sounds like it's got a short E. Keh. Right. This little exercise in Americanism is driving Robert quite to distraction. And that's a hell of a thing to do to a guy at like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. How do I do the transaction? Robert says, lady, if you're paying using a credit card, we already know everything about you down to your blood type. And I'm about to award a cowbell. This woman is as thick as two short planks. Yes, yes. David in South Carolina, Stan, making it clear for all of us who might not have quite clicked on it yet. David says, why in the world would a sworn enemy of the United States want a deadly virus to spread through the USA and kill maybe a million people? Duh. Since it's audio, Jeremy in Vermont says, I'm going to guess that she's slightly darker skinned than snow. But not by much, Jeremy.
Vlad too. And David says, and why would a sworn enemy of the USA want people in the USA to fight among themselves and kill each other? Duh, part two. More on Shelley Lewis, says Steve in New York. This is a genuine, W-H-I-N-E, for which you get a... This is a genuine loon. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're so close to being done with shells, Karen, Kaylee.
Why is that? I'm going to just let them go do that. So, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that.
Meanwhile, the dude that went and humbly got the manager for her is happily back. This is just rubbing it in. And I realize we're talking about video on the radio. I know it's difficult. But imagine, if you will, because it's theater of the mind, that there's a young guy who is really friendly, who humbly went to get the manager, and he has reappeared in the scene, and she's decided to video him, and he's got his spray bottle of sanitizer, and he is going about the business of sanitizing a grocery cart, a jitney, if you will. And as he sprays down the shopping cart and wipes it down, he is dancing his heart out to the Michael Jackson tune playing in the background. I have a feeling she's going to have a problem with this, too.
But you're pretty chipper. You're pretty chipper. Huh? You're happy?
Why not be?
Why are you happy?
Yeah. Normally I'm a bartender and I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
Not the Gelsons.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you guys think it's okay to, like, infringe on people's rights here. You're infringing on people's rights.
Oh, just walk up and punch her in the face, for fuck's sake. No, don't do that. We're peaceable here. I'm happy because I have a job. I'm a bartender. I wouldn't ordinarily have a job. But he was a good bartender, too, because he probably danced to the music that was playing in the bar as well. I mean, lots of flourishes. He went over to the little, counter there and snapped off a paper towel and came over and started wiping down the buggy. And that just pissed Karen off more.
My dear, there is no way my card
but please. Sorry?
I'm sorry I can't help you. But that's the number to our corporate office.
Okay, what's your name?
Okay, my name is Ben.
Ben? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks,
Ben.
There was one last thing there that the cart guy said. What?
Number to our corporate office.
Okay, what's your name?
Okay, my name is Ben.
Ben? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for being a patron. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Oh, yes. The photo was at the bottom of Stephen New York's email, so we can follow out today. Shelley Lewis, otherwise known as Karen now, who says, one of the very first things we did in boot camp was dress right, and wear a uniform. Welcome to the military. You're being initiated by wearing a mask that does nothing, and you have to be 6 feet away. # Landespolizei. Because, you know, it's just like being herded onto a boxcar and sent to Auschwitz to stay 6 feet away from somebody and wear a mask. Shelley is... That's it! I was right! God, I'm so good at this sometimes. She was going into buying... She was going to buy bacon. Yep. Shelley is a vegan chef, HHP, flat earther, seeker, airborne photographer, director. Yeah. Flat earther. Idiot. Earth will miss nothing without her. Oh, that's brilliant, Lee. Lee in New York says, the song in the background, Rock With You, Michael Jackson. Someone needs to parody the Michael Jackson song. Maybe put some auto-tune on Shelley's voice and turn it into Shop For You. Yeah. Megan says, oh, come on. Those that argue that the mask prevents proper oxygen from getting to their brain don't have enough oxygen getting in through mouth breathing, and that's assuming they have brains to begin with. And meanwhile, Megan's still hung up on what private items? The only items I'd be embarrassed to buy in a grocery store are tampons, sanitary napkins, or condoms. Store clerks have seen it all, so who cares? Even so, that's what online shopping's for. This woman is ginning up bullshit claims to arouse online anger for no purpose and then socializing with other mouth breathers and knuckle draggers. If only we could inflict the virus on these stupids who willfully disregard public health and safety rules. I know, I know. But no, no, it, no, she's not embarrassed to be going in and buying tampons or, no. She's a vegan. Did I ever tell you the story about these vegans that we knew? And, you know, they were constantly, and I'm not gooning, I'm just saying this is how it was. You know, they were constantly sitting there eating grass or tempeh or, you know, whatever. And this is not to say, I mean, sometimes I eat things that are not cooked with meat or meat products at all. I mean, I put oil and vinegar on salad and like it. But they were really proud of their veganism, and they talked about how the rest of us were uncivilized assholes for walking around and eating the poor creatures, and you're drinking the liquid that comes out of another animal? You barbarian! And then one day, up around exit 67, and it was strictly a coincidence that was generated by the goddess of irony, we stopped at KFC. Exit 67 is Flatwoods on I-79. And it's got the usual array of fast food crap. Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Hell, and KFC. And imagine our surprise when we walked in to that KFC only to find those two dedicated diehard vegans absolutely massacring a bucket of the Colonel's finger licking good. Didn't make a big deal out of it. All of what little blood they had in their bodies drained out of their faces. And, you know, we just ordered our bucket of original recipe legs and thighs. We're funny like that. And went about our merry way. But I have to say that we laughed up the road a right smart ways. That's what this was. She was going to slip into Gelson's. She was going to get her some bacon. She was going to get her some, because she's out there on social media, and you know, right? I mean, she wouldn't do to have somebody finding out that she'd cooked up a big old pan full of thick sliced maple glazed bacon or anything. Probably going to get a little hamburger. Maybe even a little, look, if in for a penny, in for a pound, if you're just trashing your veganism, go straight for the steak tartare, baby. Yeah, with the raw egg and everything. Good. But that's what it was. I'm now thoroughly convinced. Punch her in the face, says Robert in Australia. Yeah, we're more civilized than that in Australia. That's what cricket bats are for. Well, see, we don't have cricket. Further proof of our lack of civility. Jeremy in Vermont, you just know the fact that everyone treated her kindly and didn't raise their voice in anger drove her up the fucking wall. Yeah, she went for a fight. It was all planned. She even, when she originally posted it, She was looking for victim support. But then in fairly short order, she wound up over at Reddit on the subreddit Freakout. Yeah. Steve in New York says, the goddess of irony never sleeps and sends me a photograph of Michael Jackson wearing a mask. It all just loops back around and around and around. Oh, dear. Billable Rick, really? Now you're going to have a, you weren't happy before, you're going to have a run at the Central Daylight Time Zone? Really? I know the private stuff she wanted to buy, and she didn't want Gelson's to know about. Perineum tanning cream. Because, you know, that's a thing maggots do now. They expose that area to the sun. I actually had plans for a meal after the program. And sometimes it just all comes back and gets you. Karma, you know. Sure. Oh, and apropos of nothing and completely out of place with the rest of this conversation, but so much winning. You remember when that three-judge panel of the 4th United States Circuit Court of Appeals voted to throw out Maryland and D.C.'s Emoluments Clause suit? And that's probably what Kaylee was looking for, was the bleaching emolument. Didn't think I could work that in there, did you? No, originally, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the three-judge panel, voted to throw out the emoluments lawsuit against chloroquine Claudius. But Maryland and D.C. sought a rehearing en banc, and so 15 members of the 4th United States Circuit Court of Appeals reheard the case. And they voted 9-6 to tell Donald J. Trump, the J stands for Perry Mason, to take a hike. And so the case is not dismissed. The case goes forward. And, now I guess it goes up to... It goes up to old Balls and Strikes Roberts and Sammy Bad Breath shoot the black kid in the back of the head, even though he doesn't have a weapon and he's 30 feet away, Alito. And Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Ann's boy Neil, and Brat Kavanaugh, who lives scot-free in a house that he didn't pay for. Yeah, they're going to hear it now. Because, see, when the three-judge panel heard it, all three of them were Republican judges. On the other hand, Jay Succinow said, we'll take this to the U.S. Supreme Court. We disagree with the decision of the Fourth Circuit. This case is another example of presidential harassment. We will be seeking review at the Supreme Court. Shh. There is no such thing, no legal doctrine, nothing in the world called presidential harassment. Except for, of course, when the President of the United States decides to commit a spontaneous sexual assault, as he bragged about having done. Yeah. Presidential harassment, it's in the Constitution. Yeah, right. Right, nice to one nation under God. Jimmy, in the Great Northwest, Jimmy with probably the single pithiest observation of the evening. Simple, short, to the point. Uppity white folks just crack me up. Ain't it the truth? Rusty says, try a tempeh Reuben, Bob. Marinate with miso or soy sauce and bake and then pan fry. Might be good on the griddle. Bill, with a science question. Oxygen and CO2. If there's a problem with oxygen intake and CO2 exhalation, then why are surgeons expected to wear a mask during surgery? Well, to be fair, after like a 9 or 10 hour affair, it can get a little ugly. But you get used to this stuff after a while. And surgeons are not known for passing out from CO2 intake over top of their surgical patients. Nope, not so much. What, Robert? Have the shiny hiney people come up with the shiny hiney butt cheek spreader yet? So you can preform the brown eye salute to the sun while laying face down. Oh my God, my God, quit it! Stop it, Spock. Obligatory Star Trek reference. It has been, in fact, a long and moronic weekend. And we all know, I presume, by now about the fact that Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point, asked for the State Department Inspector General to be fired. He admitted it. He said he just didn't know that he was under investigation at the time.
Sure.
Because what was being investigated was the fact that Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you graduate first in your class at West Point, you can't be expected to walk your own dog, wash your own dishes, or make your own damn dinner reservations. And that's what he was doing. He was treating career civil servants personal shoppers and personal assistants. And so earlier today at the same event where hydrochloroquine Hadrian talked about his new Hydro Jones. I got a Hydro Jones. Got a hydrochloroquine Jones. Stop that. Yes. Cowbell for the shiny hiney joke for Robert in Australia. He took some questions about Mike Pompeo, first in his class at West Point, wanting the IG fired. High comedy ensued.
Now I have you telling me about dog walking, washing dishes. And you know what? I'd rather have him on the phone with some world leader than have him wash dishes because maybe his wife isn't there or his kids are there. You know, what are you telling me? It's terrible. It's so stupid. You know how stupid that sounds to the world? Unbelievable.
Yeah, only it doesn't sound stupid to the world. But by the way, one of the other side effects besides heart failure of hydroxychloroquine, hallucinations. You know, like thinking an airplane is invisible. Oh, yeah, it all just, it all begins to make so much sense when you consider it all together. And it is true, Eric the Dumber told Judge Jeanine Weinbach-Spiro that the Rona is a Democrat hoax.
Listen, Biden loves this. Biden can't go on stage without making some horrible blunder. I mean, even from his basement, he's making awful gaffes every single day. So his campaign's thrilled that he's not going out there. And They think they're taking away Donald Trump's greatest tool, which is being able to go into an arena and fill it with 50,000 people every single time, right? So they will, and you watch. They'll milk it every single day between now and November 3rd. And guess what? After November 3rd, coronavirus will magically all of a sudden go away and disappear, and everybody will be able to reopen. They're trying to deprive him of his greatest asset, which is the fact that the American people love him, the fact that he's relatable, the fact that he can go out there and draw massive crowds. Joe Biden can't get 10 people in a room. My father's getting 50,000 in a room, and they want to do everything they can to stop it. So make no mistake, to a lot of them, Janine, to a lot of them, this is a very cognizant strategy that they're trying to employ. It's no different. Listen, Biden.
Hold on. Art of word knowing moment. I should probably never go down this road. But I don't. I was reading a Charleston Gazette article by the guy who follows the State House beat. Good writer, Bill Kabler. But about seven paragraphs in, I noticed that, and he was talking about a Democratic senator from the Eastern Panhandle, Berkeley County. And he said that, and that Democrat is also a preacher. His name's John Unger. He's not a bad guy. But he said that Unger's concerns about the Rona there's a three-layered. Level of concern. Let's see. And what he and what Phil Kabler originally wrote was that his first hope was that West Virginia has been spared by an act of divine providence. Divine providence. Well, let's just check in on providence. Providence is defined as the place of origin or earliest known history of something, or the beginning of something's existing, something's origin, a record of ownership of a work of art or an antique used as a guide to authenticity or quality. In short, what he meant was not provenance, but divine providence. And because I'm a longtime amateur layperson practitioner of the art of word knowing, I realized right away that we had a problem there with divine providence. And so too with the word that Eric the Dimmer used. He described the strategy, he described what's, you know, America is not in some form of lockdown or another because 90,000 Americans have 90 plus thousand Americans have died and 1.5 million have the virus. No, no, no. It's all a devious strategy to keep Donald Trump from holding his maggot clavern rallies. And the word to describe the strategy.
This is a very cognizant strategy that they're trying to employ. It's no.
A cognizant strategy. Yeah, I don't think that's the word. Deliberate? I mean, to say that the strategy is cognizant is to say that the strategy, not the person who developed the strategy, but the strategy itself has an ability to engage in cognition, which is impossible because a strategy is an idea, not a living thing. But then again, he said it on Janine Boxawine-Pirro's program, so it's not like Emery and Marvelline are going to catch that. But since it is Moran Monday, and since we are right at the top of the second hour, end of the second hour of the program, let me mention that we've got Friday and today to catch up with, bills to pay, etc. Sorry, I hate even mentioning it, but even more, I hate getting into $800,000 holes. So we're at $400. Anything we can take off of that is wonderful. If you'd like to help out, it's over there at addon.live. Easy, easy. Steve in New York says, I'm not generally that optimistic about politics. However, the Trump crime family is shitting bricks that the more His Majesty's hydroxychloroquine Victoria talks and appears in public, the worse the polls get for him, and his disapproval goes up while Biden, and I wish he were out more, essentially comes out for an hour or so once a day and is kicking his ass by 10 points. Yeah, and the thing is, maybe Biden's limited time does play to his advantage because it shows that he takes this seriously. That he is staying home like the rest of us are staying home. Maybe America sees it as a sign of respect. There we go. Thank you, Darlene. Art of Word Knowing moment. Conscious strategy? Maybe a conscious strategy? Darlene says, LOL. I know. But I think we both agree, don't we, Darlene, that it ain't cognizant. But then again, sometimes, Eric masturbates a word into a sentence even if he doesn't know what it means. It's my only answer. Thank you very kindly, Ralph. So we can get this down to, we can get down to 380 if somebody will kick in 10 bucks. Ralph's will double it. Thank you, Ralph's. Thank you very kindly. That would be a big deal. Brother Deacon Asa says, if Joe Biden, from the comfort of his own home, has the ability to prevent the president from conducting his Klan rallies, then doesn't that mean that the president has no control over his own affairs? Oh, there you go using that logic thingy. What I'm asking is, can the God Emperor make a burrito hot enough that even he can't eat it? That's beautiful. Can he cut a line of Adderall so long that he can't snort it? But yeah, wow. Joe Biden just sits there in his house and is able to control Donald Trump. Well, I mean, you know, he and Barack Obama. Barack Obama had been kind of laying low, but it's obvious that he's been laying low from living rent-free inside Donald Trump's head because he drove Trump crazy this weekend. Stoke the stroke, Barack. I wonder if, pure speculation, I freely confess it. I wonder if they're giving him something else, like, say, an anti-Alzheimer's drug, and they're telling him that it's hydroxychloroquine. Doesn't that kind of have an Occam's razor flavor to it, too? Razors don't have flavor. I'm mixing metaphors. Doesn't that shave rather closely? But like I said, it's Moran Monday. And what kind of Moran Monday would it be if we didn't have a joke toad sighting? God, how has this millionaire managed to stay on the air? For some reason or another, he had Peter Navarro, who is Nitwit Nero's trade advisor. He's also the guy who was running around with his hair on fire in January trying to explain to the moron in chief that that the virus could kill hundreds of thousands of Americans. Hydroxyhadrian didn't want to hear that. And so Chuck Todd is asking Navarro about on Meet the Prostitutes about why the national stockpiles of PPE weren't replenished by the Trump administration, because these things have a shelf life, and they do get used. Why didn't they replenish it? Okay, that's fine. The answer is the problem.
Look, I know you want to talk about the strategic national stockpile, but I got to ask you this question. You did a pandemic exercise, and you went through these plans in 18 and 19. Do you have a good explanation?
And when he says you did an exercise, they're talking about Crimson Contagion.
And for why the after-action reports weren't followed in time to have our stockpiles prepared for this pandemic?
I'm not looking in the rearview mirror right now, Chuck. And this president's just looking straight ahead towards it. Well, it's going to be a really strong future. But the fact of the matter is that we were able to get through the Chinese winter here, the pandemic, with what we had. It was a threadbare FEMA stockpile that was left to us by the previous administration. The one that we're going to have going into the fall is not that. It's going to be, as I said, smarter, bigger. Right. Far more resilient. That's what I'm doing, Chuck. My focus here. Yeah, I came here to kind of work on trade policy issues, and somehow I became part quartermaster and supply clerk. But it's been a beautiful thing working with private industry to see how innovative the companies of America can be, and how the manufacturing platforms in this country, if we just give them some lift, how they can really develop, like the GM example I told you about earlier.
I want to ask you and ask you whether the president has confidence in the CDC. It does seem as if the initial guidelines they didn't want to put out. They've put down very limited guidelines with more detailed ones coming later. CDC hasn't been able to give a briefing now in over a month. Does the president have confidence in the CDC as our lead, on this pandemic?
Well, I'd say two things about that. First of all, you should ask the president that question, not me. But early on in this crisis, the CDC, which really had the most trusted brand around the world in this space, really let the country down with the testing, because not only did they keep the testing within the bureaucracy, they had a bad test, and that did set us back. But going forward with these guidelines, the important thing to understand here for the American people is this. Opening up this economy is not a question of lives versus jobs. The fact of the matter is, and what President Trump realized early on, is that if you lock people down, you may save lives directly from the China virus.
Right. China virus. Note.
But you indirectly, you're going to kill a lot more people. And why do I say that? We know statistically, based on our experience with the China trade shock in the 2000s, that unemployment creates more suicides, depression, and drug abuse. But we also know this in this crisis, as we've basically locked down our hospitals for everything but COVID. Women haven't been getting mammograms or cervical examinations for cancer. We haven't been able to do other procedures for the heart or the kidneys, and that's going to kill people as well. So if you contrast like this complete lockdown, where some of the people in the medical community want to just run and hide until the virus is extinguished.
Yeah, just a quick timeout. Of all the people who aren't running and hiding from any goddamn thing, it would be the medical community. And even Peter Navarro should know that, because it was just last week that Hydroxyhadrian was blathering on about how beautiful it is to watch them running into the virus, running into the disease. It's like watching people running into bullets, running into war. It's so beautiful.
That's going to not only take a huge toll on the American economy, it's going to kill many more people than the virus, the China virus, ever would.
Notice he says the virus, the China virus. He has been instructed to go out and use that ethnic slur. Well, I mean, Joke Toad is a professional member of the multimillionaire media. He's not going to let Peter Navarro get away with that kind of filthy racism, is he? Of course he is.
I gotta ask you this question about the president. On one hand, he says he wants to leave these decisions up to governors.
Here's the thing. The proper response to hearing him repeatedly say China virus would have been to say, "Sir, this is a professional news news organization, and for reasons of both liability and common decency, I cannot let you put out a slander like that without disagreeing and saying that that is a complete and total racist slur, fabrication, filth, because I have to live with myself, Pete. Maybe you don't look in the mirror in the morning, but I do. And so shame on you for your China virus bullshit. And by the way, while I've got you here, let me just point out that the virus that has ravaged the eastern United States, that has killed so many people in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Michigan, Connecticut, that virus had mutated into something entirely more poisonous and dangerous and deadly. And it didn't do that in China. It did it in Europe. So if you're feeling real froggy there, Pete, call it the Eurovirus, why don't you? But you're not going to do that, are you, Pete? Because you work for a white supremacist. And he wouldn't like it if you called it the white folks virus, would you? Would he? Right. Get off my air. I get to have those little fantasies every once in a while, because it would be so refreshing to see a member of the multimillionaire for-profit media actually do something like that. And some of them behind the scenes are doing things. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but MSNBC has given Andy Lack his walking papers. Andy Lack is the one who hired a bunch of right-wing assholes at one point in time for MSNBC. Andy Lack is the one who was chomping at the bit to get rid of Chris Hayes, Lawrence O'Donnell, and try to turn it into Fox Light. Well, apparently, according to what I've read, working behind the scenes, Rachel Maddow, who carries some considerable weight, because she is moral, she is ethical, and she is, well, I knew somebody there once who said she is the hardest worker in the entire damn building. And she pushed for Andy Lack to be shown the door, and she did not take no for an answer, and she did not give up, and Andy Lack is gone now. Hopefully to be replaced by someone who won't be quite so enamored of people like Joke Toad. Seriously, says Steve in New York, how is he that bad? He has to work at it. He does. because, and again, because he's addicted to access. Chinese trade war, says Steve in New York. The one that Trump started? Yes, the one that Trump started. Lady B, Chuck Todd, fuck him. Just fuck that guy. He's disgusting. Well, he is. Yeah, I know. Ron in Raleigh says, whenever I hear these pillocks speak, I can feel my IQ drop by at least a dozen points. And David in South Carolina, Stan, points out, nobody had a complete lockdown. Yeah, there's that, too. But, no, joke toad, just let him get away with being a racist, and, you know, why not? I don't know if you watched it live, but I happened to be watching live on Saturday when Governor Andrew Cuomo stood up and got his COVID-19 test live on air. A doctor administered it to him, and he was trying to encourage people to go out and take the damn test. And somebody has apparently told Governor Cuomo that people are not getting tested there in New York because they're just afraid of the test. Now, I don't live in New York, so I can't be, I can't speak for New Yorkers much. But New York does not have a population that is 0% uninsured. I think that far more than having a wire with a Q-tip on the end of it jammed up back behind your eyeballs is keeping a lot of people from getting tested. That's just my guess. But I think it is an educated guess. Because, well, they're desperate over the weekend, and they'll continue to do it here. Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has set up free testing sites in, he's going like three counties at a time. So he went to, he set up free testing in Berkeley County, which has had an outbreak, which has significant numbers of the Rona. And then he set up in two other counties that supposedly don't have significant numbers, one of which is Raleigh County, the county to the immediate south of me. They show very little COVID-19 at all, really. And it's fairly obvious that the purpose of this is to show a low R number, a low reinfection rate. So if you're going to do free testing somewhere that you know there's a good bit of it, then you want to balance it against counties that you think don't have so much. So, for instance, Raleigh County shows 10 confirmed cases, which is really odd because Raleigh County does not have nearly the population that my county does, and yet my county shows 38 confirmed cases and one death. My guess is that not so much on the testing in Raleigh County. And so they'll repeat the thing again, probably this weekend, because they're desperate to show a low R number so that we can justify the ignorant reopening that we have just begun here. And I would be lying if I said that I didn't find this deeply disturbing. Immediately to the north of me is Nicholas County. Again, 9 confirmed cases. Gee, I wonder what makes my little county so different. 10 cases to the south, 9 cases to the north. 38 cases here. Might have something to do with the campgrounds that never got shut down. I saw somebody pulling a fifth wheel, long, expensive trailer out my road just yesterday. I don't know where the tags were from, but I knew they weren't West Virginia. And it was sort of chilling to me to realize, hey, that might be the virus going right out my road. Creepy as hell. But, you know, we got the reopened Fandango going on with us. Ron in Raleigh says, COVID tests in New York. Black people in the Big Apple are afraid to get a test because it comes with an ass-whipping administered by the New York the NYPD. Well, I mean, realistically, that's the question. What happens if you test positive? What happens if you need medical care and you're not insured? Because what is it? There's 27.5 million Americans who are in that no man's land between Medicaid and the for-profit ACA that even if you buy it doesn't give you coverage. When you factor in the number of people with ACA coverage that doesn't cover anything, that 27.5 million probably leaps through the roof. And I'm guessing treatment, I'm guessing a successful hospitalization for the Rona is probably hellaciously expensive. And then there's the fear that, well, if you do go into the hospital with it, things may get worse in the hospital than they would if you'd stayed home. And that's why there may be as many as 60,000 more dead people in the United States who have simply died at home rather than seeking treatment in a hospital. Because there's a sense that when they roll that ventilator into the room, if you're conscious, well, cancel Christmas. What, about a 20% success rate coming off the vent? Something like that. So, in point of fact, to answer Andrew Cuomo's question, why aren't people getting tested? Because they can't afford to be tested. Oh, but the tests are free. Yeah, but the aftermath isn't. And why would someone roll the dice like that? And by the way, infections on the USS Theodore Roosevelt of people who have already had it are on the rise. At first it was 5, then it went up to, I think, 8, and now it's at like 14 last I checked. How's that whole antibody immunity thing working out? And that goddamn fool Eric Trump says, oh, it's going to disappear in November. You fool. That'll be smack dab in the middle of flu season. Flu season and Rona season. And nobody there to say Elmer season. Evil is real. Terribly, terribly real. Oh, and an update to Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Part of the reason they had to make the whole Inspector General investigation go away is because out in Kansas, they got him a Republican primary going, and I think it happens in August. they got a Republican primary going to fill the Senate seat being vacated by Pat Roberts. And right now, the two prime contenders are some guy whose name I don't remember and the man who broke Kansas, Sam Brownback. Religious maniac, et cetera, et cetera. Economic terrorist. And there are a lot of folks in maggot circles that were kind of hoping that Mike Pompeo might decide to, at the last minute, well, you know, decide that he was tired of Secretary of State and take him and his first graduated in his class from West Point certificate suitable for framing and go and run for that Republican nomination for Senate from Kansas, because the Kansas Republicans are fairly shitting themselves that otherwise that might be a seat that turns blue too. And so Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, that silly bastard. Well, it wasn't just that he was using civil service staff to do things that civil service aren't supposed to do, like being a personal errand boys and girls for Mike Pompeo. No, it turns out it's also the fact that he was also being investigated by the attorney general who got fired, who didn't really get fired. The way it works, you have to file a notice of intent to terminate. So that means he's going to be fired in, what, 27 days now? Unless Congress steps in, because that's the way the statute is set up. It's set up so that Congress can step in and say, no, sorry, not happening. But the IG asked him to sit for an interview, Pompeo. And Pompeo said, in the name of Jesus, no. Because what Pompeo did at the behest of Hydroxyhadrian was to fast-track an $8 billion arms deal with Saudi Arabia. And pull a fast one by doing an end run around Congress through Clorox Claudius's emergency declaration. Which was arguably, illegal. Whew. Wow. This is a very nearly 2.5 hour filibobster. I should note that the stress line is open. 844-843-4676. And that the Skype line is open, too, but when I'm running sound clips and you ring in, it makes it kind of difficult because then you can't hear the clips anymore, and I'm waiting for a connector that's going to correct that problem. And it'll get here. Just not yet. That's, I think, a weekend thing. It gets here. And it's just a little adapter that goes from the tablet into the mixer. It'll be here this weekend. But if you've got a bee under your bonnet or a burr under your saddle, we will address that. Hey, Scott. What's up? Scott. There you are. Scott.
Hey, Bob.
There you are.
Okay, sorry, I had my thing. I had my thing not. Were you there?
No, quite.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was.
Yeah, let's leave further discussion of your thing out of it. It's been a horrifying enough night as it is.
Well, you think? I don't know. I can't. Got these little silicone deals that go on my iPod earbuds, and I've lost one of the silicone things, so I don't know what I'll do. Anyway, well, I hear you. So, hey, I want to tap into your knowledge of all things legal, and I'm utterly confused after watching one of two segments on C-SPAN over the weekend with the audio from the Supreme Court. They had two cases recently, one in the state of Washington, one in the state of Colorado, which I did not listen to the latter, having to do with the faithless electors in the Electoral College.
Oh, no, not that again.
Well, I listened to it.
I mean, I'm not being mean to you, but I'm just, please.
Well, I can't figure out what the fuss is.
I don't know what the fuss is on Washington Journal this week, but I mean, I get the concept.
Well,
because historically, Scott, at the time of the ratification of the Constitution, there were no political parties. And the electors in the Electoral College were there to make sure that the lumpen proletariat, who in 1787, 1789, whatever, who were only propertied white males, didn't get it wrong and elect a complete ninny president. At which point, they, according to the theory advanced by Alexander Hamilton, could step in and say, nope, fuck the will of the people, we got a better idea. That was dead on arrival. Because factions, as they called it back then, which we now call party, emerged almost immediately. And so you get, and in the modern in the modern execution, what happens is that if a state, you know, and states are with two exceptions, maybe Nebraska and Maine, winner take all.
Yeah.
So my little state has 5 electoral college votes. Well, depending on who wins the state, electors for that party become the members of the Electoral College who cast the Electoral College ballot for my state. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it is by definition partisan. And the idea of faithless electors is the idea that you would have somebody who had such moral clarity that they would, and I remember when this was supposed to happen in 2016, that they would say, oh, no way, no fucking way, that that asshole's getting into the, White House.
Okay, well,
so that's what makes them.
The frustrating part for me as a totally unknowledgeable layperson in that area was sometimes when I listen to the Supreme Court, you can kind of suss out where the thing is going, obviously from the lawyers arguing the case, but also from the kinds of questions that the justices put to the lawyers. At the end of it, I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on, but now I guess what we should expect in the way of a result is status quo. Don't rock the boat. Things will not change, at least not through this case or these two cases. I just was very confused by it. I've always been confused by it, But this didn't alleviate any of the confusion, watching this argument the other night. Because I couldn't, I tried to figure it out, and I said, fuck it, you know. I'll find out when they hand the decision down. By the way, that lady, Sherry, also known as Karen.
Shelley Lewis.
Sherry, what did I say, Sherry? Anyway, yes. I could use a belt of Sherry right about now.
Well, no, Sherry Lewis had a puppet named Lamb Chop. That's why I want to avoid any potential confusion.
But what I
Lamb Chop would have been more coherent at Gelson's, frankly.
Well, and she often was. I used to watch her on Saturday mornings on NBC, along with Rough and Ready.
NBC.
Huh?
NBC.
Yeah. Yeah. WNBC. But anyway, I thank you for your input on that. I'm still confused, but less so since you've spelled it out to me. But anyway, she was apparently in Dana Point, California, which is in Orange County. So
well, of
on course. On behalf of Californians from the top of the state to down where I am, we apologize for the ignorance, pockets of which still exist, even in enlightened Orange County, which didn't always used to be enlightened. Orange County has come a long
way. Apparently still has work to do.
Oh, apparently, yes. Is there so little going on in that lady's life that she has to
go? Oh, no, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
Down here at Gelson's.
Yeah. Got balloons for the kids and hot dogs. Records from the cutout bin.
Indeed.
No, she's busy being a flat earther and a director and a vegan chef.
Well, the notion of a flat earth. I mean,
but
by
see,
now,
she's all of that because she's trying to build clicks because she's trying to make a living by off of YouTube advertising.
But a flat earth society, these poor souls, by now, wouldn't cats have knocked everything off the edge?
You've got a very good point there.
I mean, come on. You've got cats. I used to have cats. I know how cats are. At least the cats I've had. You can't have a flat surface with
things on it. I don't know what was going
on
with those two yesterday. They would not. They would not leave Agnes's side, and they behaved in a most uncharacteristic fashion. Very seldom do they want much in the way of human contact.
Yeah.
But they rolled up and Agnes was sitting in the bed, well on it really, and. They hell wouldn't hold them, but they had to come. They would literally shoot between my feet if I opened the door, and they jumped up on her, curled up with her, curled up together like kittens in a litter, and sat there and just purred all afternoon long.
Well, if she's having a bout, it's very possible that they're there to comfort her, and to send cat vibes her way, which are known to be healing. The ancient Egyptians knew what cats were up to.
Bast.
Hmm?
Bast, the cat god.
Oh, all right.
The god in the form of a house cat? Bast, B-A-S-T.
All right. I didn't know that. But anyway, I guess you can, like Paul Harvey used to say, you can run, but you can't hide. Even out here in California, we've got idiots. And I'll bet you.
Well, I mean, that's the same county where thousands of idiots descended on what? Newport Beach?
Well, yeah. And plus here in Santee a couple of weeks ago, the guy with it.
Yeah.
With the Klan hood. But I'll bet you if you looked at a map of California and then superimposed over that map of COVID outbreaks, I'll bet you that the places where the COVID outbreaks are the biggest and most dramatic are places that voted for Trump. I'd be willing to bet real money.
Oh, sure.
On that.
Yeah, no fight here.
And speaking of real money, after Saturday's mail happened, and I checked online and I checked my mailbox, and there was still no relief check. Thank God my future and health and well-being doesn't depend on this $1,200 check. Otherwise, I would be screwed 6 ways from Sunday. So anyway, after nothing happening over the weekend on Saturday, I said, well, let me drop my Congress lady a note and find out what light she can shed on it. And I laid it all out for her, who I was, how I get my Social Security, and understanding from media that if you're a Social Security person, it happens automatically. And she said, yes, you are right. It does happen automatically, but we have no idea when. They told us that starting in April or something, they would start sending these out, but they did not give a timeline, and there's no way to check. So I'm sticking with my original theory. The people sending the checks out have looked at Facebook, and they've seen what I've said. They've listened to this program and heard what I've said about Mr. Trump. And they're not doing it alphabetically. They're not doing it on basis of need. They're being mean as fuck about it, as they always are. The people who don't like Trump are the last. You know that old thing in the Bible, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Well, once again, we're screwed. We're all screwed, Bob. Well, and by the way, your audio does sound good today.
Well, thank you. Does it sound better than it did Friday?
It sounds, to my ear, it sounds dramatically better.
Yeah, the problem is that this is going to be a giant file when it goes goes to the upload.
Yeah, what did you switch from 64 to 128?
We went 64 to 1. Okay. Off in the broadcast weeds with Scott and Bob. we went from 64 kbps, which is what we've been doing for years, to 128 on Friday, which is CD quality. And I doubled that as an experiment today, so we're doing 256,000.
Oh, Jesus, that is going to be a hellacious file.
God's, yeah, because Friday's file was like 170 megs.
Oh, God, yes. Well, that,
so this is probably going to be somewhere around 340,000.
Yeah, it'll be Wednesday. I'll still be sitting there, and it's the little swirly wheel of death is going round and round and round, and I just don't know what to do.
So what I'll probably do is I'll put up the Giganto file at Podbean, but as a fallback, I'll put up the 64 kbps at White Rose.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
But you were asking about, you know, are the diseases worse in maggot country? How about Santa Barbara County, California? Maggoty? I mean, that's where Ronnie Reagan went, where he went to ride his horsies.
Well, see, but that was then, and
because Santa Barbara. Well, okay, just so you'll know, Santa Barbara County has an R number of 1.54, which means they are going up. The positive test rate is 12.1%, and that means that nobody's getting tested near enough, and they are at 18% of their intensive care unit headroom space. Which means if they reopen, the shit's going to hit the fan in a hurry.
Yeah, but we've always known this. The only sure way to kill out the virus, to the extent that that's even possible, is to do social distancing when you must go out, and of course wear a mask, except for Charlene or whatever her name was,
Sherry.
Up at Gelson's.
Yeah, leave Charlene out of this. Charlene's good people. Charlene's in Rogues Island anyway.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the lady at Gelson's.
Yeah, Sherry. Karen. Just say Karen.
Karen, yeah. But, you know, it just makes perfect sense that if you I was watching this thing last week on the PBS series Nova called Decoding COVID-19, I think was the name of it. And I don't think they mentioned Trump once. It was just a well put together 1 hour program about the very origins, as best as we know, of the virus and how it got from China to here. And they spelled it all out in 1 hour. I advise everybody to look at that Nova episode from last week on the PBS website, because it's like, The way to the extent that the virus can be killed out, at least from being rapidly transmitted, is to stay home except when you absolutely have to go out. And when you do go out, wear your mask and stay 6 feet away from everybody else and follow the little direction signs on the floor of the supermarket, which they're too dumb to even do that, or they're exercising their freedom to walk the wrong way down the aisle. Well, their heads are up their asses, and even that's not going to save them. I mean, if they voted for Trump and they're still supporting him after all this, I mean, we've had plenty of evidence why this fellow is a manifest lunatic, delusional, demented, inept, and a fool. I think that the evidence is pretty much in. I mean, we knew even before that this was going to be a nightmare of major proportions. And a lot of us tried to warn people. You know, I don't mean to rehash 2016, but we tried to tell you. But no. America, parts of America, unenlightened, dark corners of America said, oh, come on, it'll be fun. Well, here we are.
Yeah. You were talking about places that aren't ready for this. Well, I just went and looked at Mississippi. If Mississippi opens up, they're looking at 15,000 dead by 90 days from now.
There you go.
If they stay in lockdown, it's 13,000 dead less.
That's and in recent years, their economy.
What I was going to say, Scott, is that Mississippi has tremendous poverty and is, of course, one of those brutalizing states that refuse to accept that their federal free money. Because
right.
We don't want, you know, there's some people we just don't want to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. I mean, we know who we're talking about, right?
Of course. And
yeah.
It's not Karen or the Mississippi version of Karen.
So if you hop two states to the east over to Georgia, where Brian Kemp is the least popular governor in America right now, you know, they got their movie theaters opening, they're going to eat in the restaurants and bowling alleys and getting their toenails did and shit like that. Their test rate is 5.4%, which means that, they're not really testing a hell of a lot. And there are, and you know, again, Georgia is the largest state east of the Mississippi. And if you look at the COVID Act Now county by county map, there are entire counties where there's just no damn data. But if you look
blind,
at the,
blind.
But if you look at the Johns Hopkins map, every county in the state has it. Little bitty Daugherty County, Georgia, where Albany is, has 1,663 confirmed cases and 135 people dead.
Jesus.
And they're not even listed on this COVID Act Now map as being a hot spot. On the other hand, up in North Georgia, you go to Cherokee County, 100% of their ICU headroom has been used. Their R number is above one. They have so few positive They have so few tests that they can't even assess what the positive test rate is.
Yeah, you can't analyze data that's not there.
And they're going to have 1,000 people die because Brian Kemp had to reopen.
Well, you mentioned Mississippi. Please tell me that they at least had sense enough to close down the casinos, because that's a big income generator has been for the last 10 years or so.
They may have at one point, but they'll be open soon, I'm sure.
Oh, God. We're not going to be out of this anytime soon.
No, that's the whole thing. And I forget who said it to me earlier today. But, you know, if Nitwit Nero is so committed to reopening the economy, then he needs to declare that, by God, come June, they're going to have their Republican National Convention, and they're going to get in there elbow to elbow and asshole to belly button, and they are gonna rub and smolik and tossle and LARP around on each other and come what may.
It'll be like the orgy room at the Continental Baths up in New York City. Jesus. That should ruin somebody's dinner. I was never there, but I read about it.
I don't even want to know.
Manilow and Bette Midler got
their start. Ah, yes, okay.
As entertainers. Not in the orgy room, I mean, but in the lounge or by the pool or wherever they played and sang, respectively. But now, I remember that back during the AIDS epidemic, the earliest days when Reagan was president, I don't believe he mentioned AIDS until after he had left office. But he didn't stand in the way of, like, the CDC.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, yeah, they did.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought he just, like, drug his feet.
Well,
didn't
I mean,
do anything proactive.
Justice deferred is justice denied.
Well, yeah.
I mean, remember, remember Anthony Fauci gets hired in 1984 and gets ridden like a barred mule by AIDS activists because he would not move with any alacrity.
I'll have to revisit that history then, because I was trying to find an example in our history in terms of medical crises where people in charge were that inept or stubborn or let their imaginations run away with them to the extent that they denied the reality of it. And maybe Reagan did in that regard. And I'm sure he did. I mean, he was there at the beck and call of the religious right in its earliest days. Because those two things coincided, the so-called moral majority and the rise of Reagan on the national scene. Hell, they wanted him in 76 when Carter ran against Ford. So, I don't know. I just...
Yeah, the only Reagan only even paid tangential attention to it when AIDS touched somebody that he knew and or cared about, and it was really more of a matter of Nancy than it was of Ronnie, and that was Rock Hudson.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's just, you know, it's who they are and how they are. Just to give you an idea, Barrow County, Gwinnett County, Georgia, has an R number of 1.24. That means that every person infected in that county is infecting 1.24 other people. So, you know, when your R number is above one, your cases are still growing. And again, they are at 100% of their ICU space already.
So we can look for refrigerator trucks to keep the bodies in until there's time enough to bury them.
Something like that.
And this apparently is not going to be the only place. And why do we have to relearn lessons? Shouldn't it be obvious by now to people that this thing is not, there's not going to be a quick solution to this thing? I mean, this fucking pipe dream that Trump has about a vaccine by the end of this calendar year, how crazy do you have to be, or duplicitous do you have to be, to shove that into the national conversation? I mean, there's false hope, and then there's like crazy talk. And screw Eric Trump, by the way.
I wouldn't with yours.
but you get what I mean. I mean, getting up there and saying that Biden and the Democrat Party, I hate when they say that because it makes them sound so stupid. It's the Democratic Party, you assholes. But Trump, I mean, Biden and the Democrats are deliberately playing this up, as I believe the words were, milking it as for all they're worth to keep my daddy from having his rallies, because we all know he can generate a crowd of 50,000 at the drop of a MAGA hat, you know? Well, I mean, go to any county fair in America. There's a fair number of people who pay their two bits to go in and see the two-headed calf, for fuck's sake. This is not to put down, you know, people at county fairs, but it's like rubbernecking on the highway when there's an accident. There are people who are just that way.
Yeah.
And if you got stupid people to start with, and they're there to hear a man who is just as stupid, maybe even more stupid than they are, well, because they like that reinforcement. All those warm fuzzies that they get because he says what he thinks. And he's not afraid to articulate the popular rage, Bob. Don't you get it?
And so here comes the natural outgrowth of him declaring that
I'm taking hydro.
The internet is already saying his doctor's giving him Skittles. Agnes, meanwhile, sent me a clip from, remember The Birdcage, Robin Williams, Nathan Lane?
Yeah, yeah.
Remake of La Cage aux Folles. There's a scene where Agador Spartacus, where Nathan Lane is having a conniption, and Agador Spartacus says, and Nathan Lane says, quick, get me my Purin tablets, Agador. Get me my Purin tablets. And Robin Williams' character says, you're giving him drugs? And he goes, it's an aspirin. I just scrape off the AS. Purin tablets. Yeah. That, but I'm still convinced they're giving him Hydrox and milk and telling him he's taking his medicine like a good boy. But here's the natural outgrowth of it. So, over at one of those right wing fever swamps, in this case the publication called Newsmuck. Emerald Robinson is a correspondent is a White House correspondent for Newsmuck, Scott. And she jumped on Twitter and said, like I told you a while ago, President Trump is taking hydroxychloroquine as prevention against the virus. He should order the FDA to make it available over the counter to all Americans. This shit will kill your ass. This shit will kill you as dead as injecting fucking bleach.
Yeah.
And that damn fool's saying, you know, sell it over the counter.
Well, I don't believe that he's taking it, Bob.
No, of course not. No reputable medical professional would say yes, sir, to that. There's a limit.
Who is his doctor? There's that one doctor up in New York.
Ronnie the Candyman Jackson is gone. He's running for Congress in Texas, and has signed off on Obamagate. He was Obama's personal physician, but in order to get elected in a blood red district in Texas, he's saying, "Oh yeah, Obamagate's real, yeah, total criminal." That should be enough to get his medical license yanked. You know?
Yeah, I mean, what part of Texas?
Oh, Jesus, I don't... It's probably the single most Republican district in Texas. Mm. I don't know if I can even find the... Yeah, I don't see it... I don't see it right off the top of... No.
Well, it's not Austin. We know that.
No, it's one of those districts where the crazy fuckers live.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, I am thoroughly disgusted now. I used to be disgusted. I guess now I'm just amused. But I'm not even amused.
Ain't nothing funny about this.
There's really not. And like I say, I don't pay a lot of attention to the news coverage. I'll catch the first 20 minutes or whatever when I get up, first thing in the day or the afternoon or whatever. But I don't dwell on it. I go to certain websites to find out certain things as to just the bare basics of what the fuck's going on. But I don't stew in it. And I recommend others not get so caught up in it. I mean, I guess it's an occupational hazard for you because you've got to look at all the crazy talk because it's topical and it's part of what the program does. And it is a service that's provided. I mean, this resource is it's vital that we have it. And bless you and yours for exposing yourself to all this crap just to let us know what the hell's going on. But for people by and large, I would say to the extent that you can get out in a responsible way, and even if it's out in the front yard or the backyard, and stand there and get some sunshine and get some, you know, some fresh air. And if you're feeling really adventurous, walk around the block if you live in a place that has city blocks and take in the sky and the trees and the grass and nod to people on the other side of the street as they pass going the other way. It's an attitude adjustment thing. You know, keep your own life in perspective. Yeah. I think there's some value to that.
Okay, I finally dug around while you were talking, and I found Texas's 13th Congressional District. It is, of course, one of those gerrymandered disasters.
Yeah.
And it takes in everything from the northern panhandle and Amarillo all the way down to the north, to the northwest of Fort Worth, up to the Oklahoma line and the Red River, and just a little bit shy of Lubbock.
Jesus.
It is Texas Republican crazy town.
And they had to gerrymander their way. They were probably up nights doing it, drawing that map.
Oh, yeah. 40,000. The district is 40,000 square miles.
Jesus.
It's a hot mess.
You know, and the thing is, you can look back. There's probably a way online to look at the historical markers outline of various congressional districts. And it probably was some standard shape and size if you go back far enough. But when they start that gerrymandering shit, God damn, I mean, it's crazy. The machinations and the scheming and the plotting, the steps that they take,
and part and parcel of all of it is the realization that they cannot win unless they cheat, even in Texas.
Yeah. Well, I keep hearing that there's a blue wave in Texas. I don't know if we'll see it in my lifetime. It, you know, because there are a lot of people down there that are dumber than dirt. I don't know why I'm losing my voice.
And meanwhile, other things are going on in the wider world. I just got a note from Shorty in L.A. About an hour ago, a rocket hit near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad in the green zone, so-called.
Lovely.
And Shorty says just in the last 30 seconds, a second siren went off, according to AFP. Crap, says Shorty. Not confirmed, but my buddy wouldn't lie. Just told me Iraqi security is saying two Katusha rockets hit near the U.S. Embassy in the Green Zone. And so, you know, look for a little wag the dog coming out of this.
Yeah, will Arthur Kent be there shirtless to describe? What did they call him? The nickname? The stud, or?
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. The former NBC hunky dude. Whatever happened to him, Bob? I don't know.
My favorite was always the kind of schlubby-looking CNN guy who had been everywhere and done everything and was thus unflappable. I remember during the first Iraq war, he was up on the roof of some building in Jerusalem and, Wolf Blitzer or whoever was, please, I think his name's Richard or something. Please, Richard, put your helmet and flak jacket on. Well, no.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Richard Blackstone, I don't know. But he said
it wasn't Mick Leshefsky, was it?
No. You could tell this guy had been was familiar with many different brands of bourbon. And he said, "Well, no, I don't think I'm going to do that." And the sirens are going off around him, and she's. If Saddam has a scud out there with my name on it, I guess I'm just going to have to deal with it.
Well, at one point in the hotel, I forget the hotel, but that was where the CNN bureau was, and it was Bernie.
Yeah. Bernie broadcasting live from beneath a table somewhere in a hotel in
Baghdad.
Under
the bed.
Under the bed, yeah.
And then Wolf Blitzer and this other guy who was up on the roof. He wasn't the British guy, was he? Peter?
No. This guy was American. No, not Peter. No. He was rumpled and dowdy, and just pure old school.
Well, now I'm curious. I'll have to look that up.
By the way, note coming in from Lady B. Ethical White House doctors in the Trump administration. Fuck all that Hippocratic oath or do no harm. Can you imagine what would happen if one of those guys accidentally gave a fatal dose of medicine to the president? Are you shitting me? I'll tell you what. They don't even have to worry about punishment from the federal government. The maggots would turn Trump into a god. Those people might be fucking sociopaths to work for Trump, but they definitely are not stupid. Hell no, Trump isn't on hydroxychloroquine. He's on hydrox and a glass of milk every night before bedtime, I promise.
Yeah, but it's got to be 2% milk, because if you dunk your hydrox in whole milk, it'll explode. A word to the wise. Go ahead, see if I'm not right. Try it.
Yep.
I'm losing my voice. I don't know what the deal is.
I need to send out a quick thank you, because we're pretty much out of time. Thank you to Jude for jumping in on Ralph's challenge. So that means we've knocked it down to 380, which means tomorrow will be 580. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. Dear Jude. Thank you, Jude. And thank you to Ralphs for making the challenge. It's so helpful. I do have to get out of here, or this file will be absolutely unmanageable. I'll go back to 128,000 bits tomorrow, but you know,
all right, man.
128 kbps.
Well, speaking of money, the whole reason I brought up the saga of the $1,200 check was, I'm good for my promise that I made seems like forever ago, that, and I hope everybody is in a position to also send a little taste your way once that check arrives, if you're still waiting for yours out there in Radio Land, because I know the value of this program and the work that you do, and that should be rewarded and supported. And, you know, I can't always do it, but I figure when I have 1,200 unencumbered bucks land in my lap, the horn's going to get a taste. So there.
Thank you,
there
Scott.
You go. All right, man. Take care, you and the cats and Agnes and whoever's milling about the great Kincaid Mansion. and stay well. All
well,
of
now
you
now we'll, you've got me curious, and I'm sitting here furiously typing away. CNN, CNN, come on. While I'm young,
it wasn't the old reporter from CBS who was on the Nixon's shit list. A real old, craggly looking guy. Whose name I also can't remember. And you, Daniel Shore. It wasn't Daniel Shore, was it?
No, no.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember it. I'm just seeing
I know
if I,
who,
I'm just trying
I know
to see
who
if
you're
I can
talking
even.
About. I just cannot say the name. I can't think of it.
It's not popping. Somebody will tell me. Somebody from the overnight crew will tell me, but... I mean, he was just, you know, hard-boiled, you know, he looked like something out of a Dashiell Hammett novel. I mean, he was real old school. And
Did he wear a trench coat?
Not even a trench coat. So it was more like the dowdy, single-breasted, you know. Yeah.
His Edward R. Murrow, London Fog, trench coat. All right, man.
Richard Blystone.
Well, good luck with your file.
Richard Blystone. Richard, stop. Stop. Richard Blystone.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I remember him.
Well, I don't know. I think if there's a scud out there with my name on it, not a flak vest and a helmet isn't going to help much.
Yes, like, there he goes.
God,
goodbye,
you've got, Richard. You carry him in a wheelbarrow, don't you, Richard?
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks a ton for calling in, Scott. Have a good evening, man.
And love on the kitties for me. I miss my kitty. I'm still debating whether or not to get a new kitty, but I don't know. I'm going to wait until some of this blows over before I make any long-term commitments.
Well, Agnes looked up yesterday and said, I swear they're going to fight over who gets to eat my face.
Oh, they're darling cats. I can't... They wouldn't do that, would they?
That's what they do.
like we don't have enough keeping us up nights. Oh, I wonder if Bob is safe. Bob's face, is it safe? Hey.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, man, you take care.
Peace and quiet be upon you, dude.
And even with this highfalutin internet, I got a hell of an upload in front of me.
Yeah, I'll give you a call about 11. See how it's going.
No, it wasn't Peter Arnett. James in Illinois says no, it wasn't Peter Arnett. It was Richard Blystone.
Richard Blystone. There's a name from the past. All right, that's it. We both hate long goodbyes, so let's just get to it. Goodbye, Bob.
All right, goodbye, Scott. Take care.
See ya.
And so we come to the end of the program, and I thank you all for your help keeping the program on the air. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite lives engaging with the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And thank you, late breaking. Thank you very kindly to Barbara. Thank you, Barbara, for taking it down to 3:30. Thank you so kindly. And maybe we'll knock it down a little bit more and won't be quite so terrifying tomorrow with the overnight crew. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very much. Always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Remember, wash your hands, stay home, don't touch your face, wear your gloves, wear your mask, because it matters. And if you see an unmasked person who looks just mind-numbingly ignorant, go the other way as quickly as you possibly can, because it's probably a maggot, and you should avoid them like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.